Welcome to Be All You Are, a Midlife Awakening podcast. I'm your host, Kaina Paranjape. I'm a former corporate executive, two-time entrepreneur, and mama. I've worked with and partnered with major brands and even helped a celebrity launch an award-winning business. But I also believe that who we are is not just reflected on our LinkedIn profile. When I was 30, my husband became suddenly critically ill. And after 8 years of living with a difficult illness, he passed away. This experience taught me that we need to claim our dreams now, embrace all we are, and create an amazing life along the way. Today, I help women like you navigate through change and transition to their next level of freedom and fulfillment, whatever that looks like for you. This podcast is all about stepping into all you are. It's about reconnecting to your inner voice so you can hear the whispers of your deepest dreams and cultivate the courage and a plan to create the life that is waiting for you. Now head out on that solo walk or settle into a cozy spot with a favorite beverage and join me. Well, hello, my beautiful friends. Welcome back to the podcast. Can you hear that dog barking? This is real life, right? This is real life. As soon as I hit record, that dog started barking. Anyway, welcome back. I'm so happy to be here with you. If you are a listener who tunes in every episode, thank you so much for your support and for coming back and having these conversations with me every single week. And if you're new to the podcast, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. This podcast really is all about stepping into all that you are. So you are in the right place. No matter where you are on your journey, this podcast is for you. I am so excited to share with you today's guest. But before we get into the interview, I wanted to share with you that I have decided to host my four-day masterclass, Your Next Era, the masterclass for women who want to tap into the more that they know is inside of them, on November 4th. So in just 2 weeks, I'm going to be hosting this masterclass again because it really seemed to resonate with you. I think it's because when I ask you to envision your next era, it invites you to pause and look back at your previous eras and maybe draws out in you that you're ready for your next one. You're ready to kick off what your next 10 years will look like and what you want to create and who you want to be and how you want to transform and what you want to magnetize into your life. And that's what we do inside this masterclass series. It is a beautiful experience in and of itself. I am considering turning it into a paid masterclass, to be honest, but I just love giving women an opportunity to try something new and to give themselves space and time to reflect on their own journey. I mean, how often do we do that, right? And it's so critical. It's so critical. So if you head down to the show notes, you will find a link to join me for Your Next Era, a masterclass for women who are ready to unlock the more inside of them. And I would just absolutely love to welcome you there. So join me on November 4th. Just click on the link in show notes. Okay, so today I am excited to welcome you to a beautiful conversation that I had with Peggy Van de Plasch. And Peggy is the founder of the Microdose Diet. What I love is that Peggy and I actually met on LinkedIn. I think I had posted something and somebody else had commented, and that was a common person that we shared. And then Peggy reached out to me and she and I had a call, and then I was on her podcast and I invited her to come on mine, and then we met for lunch, and she's just become a friend. And so I love that, you know, when you put yourself out there and when you start sharing what you're passionate about, you attract people to you that are like-minded and like-hearted. And Peggy is definitely one of those people. So Peggy's story really spoke to me because we have similar paths, although hers might be even more drastic in terms of the world that she came from and the world that she's in today. So Peggy spent 20 years as an executive, venture capitalist, and entrepreneur in the financial and tech industries. Talk about type A, high performance, surrounded by a lot of men, high expectations, need to be on all the time. And so that was the world Peggy lived in and was highly successful in. But that feeling of drowning in the hustle of corporate life, right? Being addicted to email and, you know, just managing your stress and anxiety as a normal thing, and which ultimately leads so many of us to numbness, right? To not being able to connect to our inner voice, to not be able to feel our feelings. And Peggy was experiencing that. And she tried a lot of traditional therapies, right? Like traditional therapy, meditation, energy healing, but nothing truly helped her to break through in that connection to herself. And so wanting to have an open mind, Peggy tried microdosing psilocybin. And she at first was skeptical. You know, she has this strong left brain. And so she was skeptical and she dove into the research and really learned about the power of this ancient natural medicine. And of course, I have shared my own journey with psilocybins, although I haven't done a lot of microdosing. So this was very informative conversation for me. And, you know, just to be clear, and you'll hear this as Peggy and I talk, microdosing isn't about any sort of like elevated state. It's only just a subtle shift in your mental and emotional state that allowed Peggy to regain control and find a sense of peace. And so what Peggy says is that microdosing didn't just heal me, it woke her up. And, you know, now this is what she does. She's written a book called The Microdose Diet. She does coaching. She speaks at many different events. She has been on many media stations, and she's become a real advocate for the power of microdosing psilocybins. And so I'm really excited for you to hear this conversation, not just because of Peggy's wealth of knowledge, but more so because of her transition, right? This is what this podcast is about. It's about not being so married to our past and who we think we are that we put up a block to who we truly are and who we could become if we leaned into that. And Peggy has absolutely leaned into that. And, you know, she and I met for lunch a few weeks ago, and just being in Peggy's energy and her presence and just the way she just sort of I could tell she was enjoying her day. You can feel that energy from someone, right? It's not about what someone says, but it's just about being in their energy and picking up on it. And it really impacted me. And so I'm so excited for you to hear this beautiful conversation with my now friend, Peggy Van de Plasch. Let's dive in. Welcome, Peggy, to the podcast.
Hey, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Oh, I'm so happy you're here. And I love how we met, which was via LinkedIn and through people that we know. And I think it's so amazing because we connected a month or so ago, and I feel like we will stay connected. And so there'll be a day in the future where we'll look back and be like, how did we meet again? And it'll be like, oh yeah, it was on LinkedIn.
Exactly. You know, we always complain, and when I say we as a society, about social media, but we tend to forget this type of amazing meeting that happened thanks to social media.
That is a very good point. We have to like remember all the good things about it too, for sure. So you, Peggy, have a very interesting journey, similar to my own in terms of where you started and where you are, you know? And I would love for you to share some of that journey, like share, you know, how you began your career and then how it evolved to what you're doing now.
Yes. And, you know, starting my career, I'm 47, so like 25 years ago, kind of. Started my career in France. I'm sure everyone can hear my accent, difficult to hide it. And I started in finance. I've always wanted to work in business. I loved finance, to be totally honest. It was the money that attracted me. I'm coming from a very humble family, to put it in a nice way. And for me, having this financial stability, but also this external validation, you know, of working in a field that was also very masculine.
Yeah.
Who I'm very competitive as a person. So I was like, okay, let's go in finance. Not a lot of women, very difficult. You make some money. It's very glorified. That's for me, you know. So I did that in France, and I've always wanted to live abroad. And I was lucky to find a job in Canada, initially in Montreal, actually in Laval, to be exact. And I spent a few years in Montreal, and then I moved to Toronto because both my husband and I, you know, were in finance, and Toronto makes more sense for us. So I was, you know, working in great jobs. I worked at BMO, I worked at CIBC, I was VP at CIBC. Then I moved on to become a venture capitalist. So, you know, by all accounts, a very successful career. But at the same time, I was not, it's not that I was not fulfilled because I didn't like finance. I love finance. I love intellectual challenge, all of that. But it is, I was more not fulfilled with myself. And what I mean by that is I was living a life that was not my authentic life. And it was not so much because of my career. It was because of all I was acting in my career. So I was very frightened. People would not see that. You know, you would say that to people who say, are you insane? But, you know, I felt very low self-worth. I was playing very small. I was very frustrated with myself because I could not stand up for myself. You know, so I was circling the drain a little bit, and to be fair, I've been working on myself for a very, very long time. So I was getting better, but it was so slow. I was like, okay, at 75, I would still be struggling with that. You know? And I discovered psychedelics for my own healing. Let's put it that way. Healing in the sense of mental health. I had a lot of anxiety, stress, but also some kind of depression, to be honest. But also I wanted to use psychedelics for this neuroplasticity ability. You know, rewiring the brain. And for me, it was like, well, I want to rewire myself because I'm so tired of being myself and my limiting belief and my emotional wounds. And it was not getting you know, fast and deep enough. So I started using psychedelics after doing tons of research, let's be honest, because I had never done psychedelics before. I was really the type of person more like buttoned down, so no recreational drugs whatsoever. But it was so compelling that I was just like, I don't care, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And people who are listening, you know, psychedelics are not necessarily legal where you are. So that's why I was a bit of a stretch, depending on who you look at the legal aspect, let's put it that way. And the results were great. I was, you know, like my anxiety decreased like drastically. Neurosis I had like disappeared, but also I was able to rewire myself way faster. And I was just like, oh my God, this is freaking amazing. And like everything that we do that is illegal, we're not that comfortable sharing it with others, you know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And at the time, I had a newsletter on investing in technology, you know, because that's what I was doing, you know, that was my bread and butter. And one day I'm like, okay, this is so amazing. I need to share it because, you know, too bad. I'll deal with the consequences, I'll do it. And so I wrote that newsletter explaining my experience with microdosing psychedelics or psilocybin. And I never had so much people not commenting, because people don't want to comment. They're going to send me emails. They're going to call me.
They're going to reach out to you directly. They don't want to
Exactly. It's not on social media, but I was just like, oh my God, I've been writing that newsletter on tech for 2 years. No one cared. And now suddenly I'm talking about psychedelics.
Now suddenly I'm getting all this interest. Yeah.
And, you know, it was like, I would receive a text, would you like to go for lunch? And I was just like, okay, that's name code for I want to understand more about that psychedelic story. Yes. And so very, I would say really one step at a time, I actually walked away from my career in finance. I had my own consulting business. I was advising, you know, pension funds and investors on where to allocate capital, you know, had for fintech startup. And I went in the direction of psychedelics, but I didn't really have a business plan or, you know, anything that I knew what it would look like. I actually started, most people usually start, you know, with coaching in person, then maybe they're going to do, a workshop, online course, maybe they'll do public speaking, they'll write a book. I did the other round. I wrote a book. Then I started public speaking and I just launched my coaching services actually. So I did it exactly the other round. I launched a microdosing product as well. So that's how much it was one step at a time. It was not calculated. And you know what? I think if it had been calculated, I would not have done it.
Yeah.
You know, it was just too big. So I started with the book, which seemed, you know, safe, you know, and then
because the book was you writing your thoughts down. And that, like, until you actually had to put it out there, it was just an exercise with yourself at that point.
It was the book I wished I had 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wrote it, to be totally honest, extremely selfishly, because to your point, I put all my thoughts together and I was lucky an agent found me, which, if you know the literary world, usually to find an agent, it's like, you know, finding a diamond with a spoon.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not easy. And so that's all that whole thing started. So that was, again, a lot of serendipity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of the universe nudging me pretty strongly, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, I feel like when you make a decision, and I've shared on this podcast my own journey with psychedelics and have had a few conversations with other women about it. And there's sort of like two things that happen. There's the actual experience of the journey and the breakthroughs that you experience that, and I relate so much to what you share, because I think for me, it was similar, like this feeling of being stuck and having worked so hard on yourself. And you're like, I'm working so hard and I know I am making progress, but I feel like I should not still be having to work this hard. Right. And so I relate to that. It resonates with me so much, your story. But there's the actual, experience of this, of like going through that. But then there's also who you've now become by making that decision to do that, right? Because like you, and I think for a lot of women who are listening to this conversation, you know, they probably haven't done a lot of recreational drugs in the past. So it's not like something that feels like an easy, comfortable decision, especially when you think about your own identity. You're like, well, I'm not somebody who does things like that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but once you make that decision, it's like you have suddenly now stepped, you kind of change your identity to somebody who is more open, right? Just more open to paths and open to receive and open to what could be in a way that I know that I wasn't before.
Yes. And, you know, I really like what, you know, you're hinting with this empowering and this courage and this bravery, which we tend to see in others, but not in ourselves.
Yeah.
And when I speak about psychedelics, so my area of expertise and interest is about microdosing.
Yes.
About taking this very small dose of magic mushroom, again, to help you with your mental health, your performance. So this is very different. It is, you know, the same medicine, but it is very different than going for a ceremony and taking 3, 4, 5 grams, which by itself is a totally different ball game. And I would say next level, sorry for my French, but next level shit, you know, like it's really wild. So I started microdosing. And then I did some journeys like that. I was so happy with my results with microdosing. But I started by the small door. I didn't start with a big door.
And I think that that's actually also good for women to hear, that there are different ways to move into, you know, exploring how this could be supportive to you. I'm curious, Peggy, you know, when we make a transition like you did from consulting in finance or being hardcore in that finance world and consulting in finance and being, you know, surrounded, like you said, by a lot of like male energy and, you know, productivity and efficiency and all of these things, and then to transition into what you're doing now, how did that transition actually evolve? Because I think people are sometimes curious as they're listening and they're thinking, oh, I would love to make a transition, maybe not the same transition, but a transition. But how does one do that, right? Like people ask me all the time, like, how did you make that transition? What was that transition like for you?
And you mentioned identity in you know, this conversation, but previously in your podcast, you know, it's something that is, I believe, extremely important. Whatever you do is to align your identity, which hopefully is our authentic self. And for me, I'm constantly trying to realign my identity with my authentic self, which means removing all these layers of, you know, I won't say crap, but, you know, conditioning, that I had that prevent me to be who I am. So the identity we're talking about is probably way closer to my authentic self. But it doesn't mean it was easy to transition because I was brainwashed to be the Peggy 1.0. And now I'm at Peggy 2.0 or 3.0 because I reinvented myself quite a bit, let's put it that way, multiple times in my life. So maybe I'm at 5.0 now. But you know, it's very difficult because, and again, depends on what people are looking as a transition, but you're coming from a career that is highly valued. You have a lot of external validation. The money, your business card, you know, people recognize you. They want something from you. So they are very nice with you. Let's be honest as well. You know, it's not me, myself, and I. It's more, what can I do for you? And suddenly, all of that evaporates. And I also had, you know, some, the rumor mill going and, you know, some hearing by the grapevines, oh my God, she's losing her mind. What is she talking about? She's really annoying coming with this and that. And, you know, you have to steady the course. And that's the only thing you can do. There will always be people who understand and there will always be people who don't. And it is what it is. You know, I changed country, I changed city, I changed many, many things in my life. So I've always been tagged by my friends who don't change anything in their lives as unstable.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know if it's unstable, if you're growing, but whatever.
Yeah, you
know?
Exactly.
For me, staying in the same hometown, marrying your high school sweetheart and still seeing the same friends and doing the same things that we were doing when we were 17. I don't know. Maybe that's bad. That is not normal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know what? I don't like to sugarcoat things. You know, like I hear everything. People say, oh, let's go in psychedelics. You're going to see it's a fabulous transition. It is very hard because, as I said, illegal. Okay, maybe if you're coming from a career or maybe it's your first career, but when the more you have already built, the more difficult it is to transition. I mean, that's as simple as that. The more you have to lose, the more it is painful. That's all. You need to bite the bullet. That's all.
Yeah. So having said that, and I agree, there is like a lot of pain, you still chose it, right? So what is it that sort of that was within you that told you or that called to you, this is going to be painful, probably maybe more than I realize until I'm actually in it, right? But I'm still doing it, right? Because that is where like the courage piece comes in. And as you said, you were trying to get, you were trying to embody your authentic self, right? That was sort of the vision of this. But so how was it like to keep going, even though you could sense that there was that pain, you know?
So for me, I would say there are two key moments in my life. One that arrived when I was extremely young, which has always been that fear of dying, being disappointed with my life. For whatever reason, since I was an extremely young kid, that was something that was extremely present in me. Probably because I was realizing that I was raised to be exactly the opposite of my authentic self. So that's probably what created that tension in me and that ambition, but you know, not just ambition for jobs, but ambition to be as big as can be, while I was put in a very, 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 very small box, you know. So that I think is probably the first spark, you know, that I always come back to. The second spark is definitely less romantic. So 10, 12 years ago, I was working for an extremely wealthy tech entrepreneur. I was managing, I won't say his money because he was so wealthy that you just see a sliver of money, but some of his money. Yeah. And as I mentioned, I'm coming from a very modest background. So I was not familiar. And in France, we, especially my generation, you're not seeing this display of wealth. You know, like it's a bit different in North America, especially I'm coming from an extremely Catholic background, very blue collar. So, you know, like you don't see that type of money being showcased. Even if people have money, they hide it, you know, like the good Catholic ones. And so when I started working with that guy, who was absolutely obnoxious, actually, not that it has anything to do with money. You can be lovely with money and obnoxious.
Yes, absolutely.
But he happened to be obnoxious. But you know what? That was probably the best experience in my life because I was like, oh my God, that is that type of life I want. That is that type of freedom. That is what actually I always aligned with as a young kid, but couldn't express it, couldn't even understand it myself, you know? But when I saw it, I recognized it and it was... You know, money is great. I love money like everyone. You know, if I can fly business, I don't fly business than economy. You know? But but it was more of a freedom.
Yeah.
But when I saw him and making the choices you wanted to make whenever you wanted to make them and let's do this, you know, like no limits. And I was just like, oh my God, for me, who's always lived in that little small box, incremental. That was like, wow, it's a bit like landing for the first time in New York. You have like that rush of energy.
Yes.
You know, you've never seen anything like that.
That's right.
And so for me, you know, like steadying the course was also because I knew as long as I am not getting in that direction, in that realm, I'll be disappointed with myself when I die. And that, I can tell you, that is a pretty good motivation. So it's not necessarily an uplifting motivation, but for me, it has always been a motivation to say, well, listen, it's tough. And trust me, more than once, I was just like,
I think it's so important to acknowledge that. But, you know, you're making me think of like how... I was reading something recently that talked about pain versus suffering, right? And so when we're transitioning into something new and we're making these difficult choices that feel difficult and then, you know, end up feeling even more difficult after we've made them sometimes. That is the pain of growing, right? That is the pain of evolving into our next, not next level even. It's like, as you said, more becoming more of who we are, right? Mm-hmm. But if we don't do that, that can lead to suffering. Like exactly. Looking in your life and saying, oh, you know, I didn't go for that, or I knew that this is where I was being called and I didn't listen. That is a form of suffering. And wouldn't we rather feel pain that we choose on our path than to suffer?
And that's, I love how you frame it. I chose pain versus suffering.
Yes.
I would not have been able to frame it as nicely. But you know, what's interesting as well is that it's also where all the healing comes from.
Yes.
Because everything, you know, when you apply pressure, you know, that's when, you know, you get triggered. We are going to use that word because people understand it. And everything that's popping up, wow, it's an opportunity to be healed, because it's like, oh, I didn't know that I would react like that in that situation. Let's heal that. I didn't. So for me, everything I'm doing is also an extension of myself. Yeah. So when things don't go right, well, what is not aligned inside of me? You know, it's a bit beside me, everything is you.
Yeah.
So when things are not working the way you want, well, there is only one common factor. It's you.
Yeah.
So it's like experience in real life, you know, and then you're constantly, at least for me, I'm constantly healing, growing, and it's never tiring, yeah, but it never.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I love that you put it that way. It's so true. It is an opportunity for healing. And if we can know that as we're experiencing it, it also does, you know, it takes the pain away a little bit, because you're like, this is my next opportunity to heal, instead of seeing it as like, oh, let me just get through this, you know?
Yeah. Well, especially that if you're just like getting through it, it's going to come back.
Yeah.
As long as you haven't healed it. So,
that's
and
right.
I mean, it and the level you are, it's probably going to pop back, you know, when you're at a level of consciousness that is higher in a different way. But at least you're one level up or five level up, you know? Mm-hmm. So I always work with people, you know, like people like you. I have coach. I'm a coach, but I have coach.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely.
You know, you always need to grow.
That's right.
That's the only way to get through life, you know. Otherwise, it's decay, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's so true. One of the things that I love connecting with women on this podcast, because it's called a Midlife Awakening podcast, is the fact that many of us are called to do new things, or things that are actually truly more aligned with who we are. And sometimes it feels nerve-wracking to think I'm starting something new, right? Because it's like you're an expert. Like when you describe your career in finance, at the point that you were leaving it, you were like an expert at what you did, right? Like you had the expertise, you had the validation, all of those things. And then to like move to do something where you don't necessarily have that and you're starting new, what I like to remind everyone of is that you have this foundation, right? You aren't actually starting from scratch, even though it might be feel like that. You have this incredible foundation of years of experience and years of learning and healing and work that you've done on yourself and expertise. And so I wondered if there were any sort of lessons that you have learned along your journey, even through the finance, you know, your finance journey, that apply to now what you're doing now.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing I'm still learning, I keep learning and I keep reminding myself, to be honest with you, is when I face an obstacle, instead of looking at it as a punition, looking at it, and you mention it, you know, we're talking disruption and growing and all of that. So an obstacle might be something that's going to create pain for me. And trying not to get frustrated.
Yeah.
Trying not to get resentful. Trying, you know, and that for me is probably one of my life lessons, to be totally honest. If you believe a bit in human design, which I recommend everyone to have a look. It's fun and interesting.
Yeah.
Frustration is my lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And
having your manifesting generator, what are you?
I am a generator. Yeah.
You're a generator. Okay. I think that frustration is common to generators and manifesting generators.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah.
I am just the plain, the garden variety generator, you know?
Yeah.
But frustration is one of the lessons to your point for both categories. And and it's something that, you know, I do oracle card reading. Maybe you can see behind me there are a lot of cards. And it's a lesson that keeps coming to me. It's like, stop wishing things were different.
Right,
you know, like move through it and move through it with grace.
Yeah.
That is difficult. That is very difficult for me. And it's also, you know, a challenge I've had in the sense that I was so not grounded, so not present that I was not feeling anything. So I would not feel joy. So, you know, like I protected myself so much and I isolated myself so much that feelings were very, very far from me. I didn't have a lot of emotions, even physical sensation. Very, you know, like I had a pain threshold that was extremely high. That's all my, I was gone. Yeah. Let's put it that way. But I connect all of that in the sense that the only emotion I was really feeling was frustration. Well, if something was working well, it was never good enough. It was never big enough, and it was already next to the next one. And so that is something. And to be fair, society doesn't help us. You know, hustle culture is exactly that. It's really like next on the treadmill. You know, so it's interesting for me. The more I work on myself and heal myself, the more I'm capable of not only being present, having feelings, having sensations, and understanding all this frustration come up, but also that lack of joy sometimes manifests. And I've been able to reconnect more and more with joy. So I had a lot of good news in the last 2 weeks. Always when you go on vacation, because you totally change your energy.
Yeah.
And you're not thinking about anything, and everything aligns you. And so my book was featured in Harvard Business Review for their fall edition. So that was a big thing.
That's amazing. Congratulations, Peggy.
Thank you. I was very, very happy about that. And it came a bit out of the blue. So, you know, that was great. Then I was featured in Fortune magazine, and that was an interview I gave, like, I don't know, months ago. I totally forgot about it.
They're like, is that ever coming out?
And the journalist called me, and she's like, oh, well, we're publishing on Monday. I'm like, what is she talking about? You know, like, I don't. And then yesterday I was contacted by this talk show in the US. So I'm flying next week to Houston to talk about, you know, the microdose diet and all that great stuff. But now, you know, I allowed myself to feel joy. I allowed myself to pat myself in the back versus saying, oh, it's not good enough. Who cares? It's not good enough. You know, like, because I was always peeing on my own parade, you know, kind of. But all of that has required quite a bit of work. But to come back to the psychedelics or conversation, microdosing, that has really turbocharged. What would charge my healing really very much.
One of the things that I help women with in my programs and mentorship is really less about what I say and what I'm, you know, supporting them with, but it's more so about helping them reconnect to their own voice, right? Because I think you described even so beautifully from your own experience growing up and having these very like strong desires of wanting to. And I actually think it's so amazing that we didn't talk about this before we got, you know, we hit record, because I grew up on the East Coast of Canada. So I grew up in St. John's, Newfoundland, and in Halifax. So small places, But I also always, as a kid, had this feeling like, I want to do something cool and amazing. And I don't know what it is. Like, I don't, but I knew that I didn't want to follow the traditional path. And, you know, my upbringing was different than yours in that, like, you know, immigrants from India, my parents are immigrants from India, like a lot of Indian parents who come from India to North America are like doctor, lawyer, engineer. Like that's, you know, like classic pushing to that. And I like rejected all of that. Didn't know, it wasn't like I was super clear on what I wanted to do, but I just knew it wasn't that, like that wasn't for me. And so I always had that, you know, kind of like sense within me. But then it's true, it's like the conditioning, and then things happen, and then there's expectations of people, and then you're like, how do I get the validation that I'm craving because I'm not getting that? And it leads you kind of not astray, because we're all on our journeys, right? But it really does involve coming back to being able to hear your own voice and shut out all the external noise. And I wondered, and I'm guessing that the microdose diet has a part to play in all of this. But how do you now connect to your own inner voice?
Yeah. And, you know, like I mentioned, being able to be more present, and it's becoming almost this observer.
Yeah.
And what does, you know, microdosing really help me, because it calmed my nervous system. So instead of always being in fight or flight, you know, like I was like the dog in Pavlov experience. You were barely showing the bell. I was already salivating. So there was absolutely no space for me to change my programming. Mm. And microdosing has given me not only more calm in my nervous system, but it has created, by doing that, it has created this space where now I'm not jumping with the habitual answer, which has given me the choice to actually have different answers. So that the space allows you to listen to that voice, while before you're so programmed and so conditioned. What voice are you even talking about? Mm-hmm. If it's scenario A, that's this. If it's scenario B, that's this. So there is no inner voice, you know? So for me, that was really creating that space. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we can create that space in different ways. It's also about, you know, lighting up a bit the load. Do we need to have meetings or conversation back to back to back? Do we always need to be so busy? Do you need to have your closet full? You know, like I think we need also more space.
Yes, in our lives, absolutely. Why?
You know, also in 3D, you know, not just
5D. Yeah.
I think that's very important, this detoxing of stuff, old stuff.
Yeah,
it's probably the first actually things I show in the book, which is, if you want to align with a certain identity, well, you need to also purge whatever is not aligned with that.
Aligned with your new identity. That's right.
Exactly. And, you know, you can start with the easy stuff, the fridgey stuff, you know, like maybe the old books, the old magazine, the old whatever. And then you graduate to activities, to people, to fast. And then that creates that space. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. That's very powerful. And I actually don't think I've heard that answer when I've asked this question before. So I really appreciate that. So this podcast is called a Midlife Awakening Podcast. So, you know, I'd say 90% of the women that I speak to on the podcast are in their 40s and above. And I know that you have shared your age at the beginning. You shared your age at the beginning. So we're good. We're 40. You're 47. I'm 48. And I wanted to ask you, when did all this unfold for you? Like, was it, because actually I don't think that we talked about this before, but when did you start to sort of make this transition? Was it in your 40s?
So I would say my first transition in terms of personal development, you know, really being called to do that work, I was in my 30s. That was, again, when I was working for that extremely wealthy gentleman,
Yes.
I realized that, you know, what got me here won't get me there.
Yes.
And to be a quantum leap, it was not with more education, harder work and all of that. I had already all of that.
Yeah.
So that opened a very different dimension for me in terms of spirituality, but also personal development. I tend to put both together because...
Yeah, I think they go hand in hand. Yeah.
You know, I look at that. So that's when I really started consciously to work on myself. And I would say, you know, it has been exponential, the value. Also because I tried a lot of things before, and that's something I put in the book, 10 Reasons Transformation Don't Happen. And I was so attached to the process.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but it was not the intention so much. It was the process. It was, you know, so
right.
for many years, I was also, even if I worked with coaches and all of that, I guess I needed to go through that. I miss the forest for the tree, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the older I get, the faster and better it's going.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, obviously the psychedelic, but it's also understanding a bit better all this process of healing works. And you know, like not being like so attached to the result and it needs to look a certain way, you know. So that that has really helped. So I would say my biggest growth has been happening in the last 2 years, even if I had been at it for 15, you know.
Yeah. That's so interesting. And I think that is the opportunity for us in our 40s, because I think, you know, a lot of women, as it can happen even as they're approaching 40 or into their 40s, that things start to shift. And the first reaction is, why am I not happy with what I have? Right. Mm-hmm. Or, why is this happening to me? I did everything right.
Exactly.
Right. Like there's a lot of that. And I think the opportunity is for women to, and I get it. Our first reaction will often be that, right? But then the invitation from there is to say, wait, how could this be happening for me? Like, what is the unfolding? You know, what am I being invited to step into or to heal or to evolve from? Right. And these things are happening to guide me towards that. And when we're able to see that, realize it's a part of our expansion. And it's not like, you know, life trying to punish you or, you know, the universe trying to punish you, but it's actually like inviting you to step into all you are.
Exactly. And, you know, I think what we used to call a midlife crisis, I look at it now more as an authenticity crisis.
Yeah.
It's realizing that, you know, all of us have been conditioned. It's just the nature of society. You know, like it's not blame anyone. It's just the reality. Some more than others. And some were maybe fortunate enough that their authentic self was close to the perfect image of their society. So in that case, well, they didn't have to do too much of a shift. But for many people, especially women, let's be honest, we are not really supported to be all that we are.
Yeah.
and that create, you know, we wonder why there is so much, you know, mental health issue, depression.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're constantly having to play a role that is not you, well, it's tough. It's tough on your emotion. It's tough on your mental state. I mean, that's obvious, yeah.
Yeah, and then it's tough on your body, as you said, right? Like it affects... Like, you know, women have the highest cases of depression and anxiety and autoimmune disease. And it's all about like, it's about when we wear that mask. And so.
And autoimmune disease is really about, you know, self-hatred.
Yeah.
You know, it's your system eating itself, And I come from a school of thought, which is a lot of our health issue is coming from emotional and mental dysregulation.
Mm-hmm.
Autoimmune for me is always the flag that says, okay, well, yes, we can work on the autoimmune, challenge, but if I were you, I would look at what are all the places where you were told that you are not good enough.
Yes, I 100% agree with you. Yes, and actually Dr. Gabor Mate writes a lot about that, right? And he's done studies around that. And I think like just hearing the, you know, the data that backs this up is so powerful. And is like, if you didn't feel that it was necessary to honor yourself before, then knowing that it actually puts you at risk for disease should be a reason, you know, like it actually puts you at risk for disease, all the sacrificing, all the mask wearing, all the overgiving, right?
Exactly. Overgiving. I think that's what a woman needs to hear, you know, like, and it took me decades to learn to say no, to set boundaries. And trust me, I'm still not, 100% there. But, you know, having doing something that you end up resenting, but you're not capable of saying no, and you're afraid that people will, you know, abandon you or reject you if you say no. Well, that is a massive issue. And I mean, that is a life work, literally.
Yeah, absolutely. So Peggy, if there are women listening right now and they're like, I'm curious about microdosing, like I'm curious about where would I begin, or how would I go about, like, you know, trying that as a part of my healing journey, what would you recommend they start?
Yeah. So the first thing is always about education. Mm-hmm. You want to make your own informed decision. So obviously I'll say, you know, go to my website, The Microdose Diet. There's a ton of information. I have a blog and a newsletter. So I explain a lot about that. But at the same time, you don't want to take all your information from the same source, obviously, you know. So even if you think I'm great, thank you, still triangulate what I say and make your own decision.
Yes.
Because it is fine to decide that it is not for you right now and that you're not ready. Mm-hmm. But it's fine as well to be ready now and to say, you know what, legal, not legal, I decide to put my health and my mental health first. So I think the process, even before starting, is so important and so telling about what is your state of mind, your confidence in your own choice, your ability to hear your inner voice. And I think for the woman who are listening and the men in their lives, it's really a personal choice.
Yeah.
And great if you have friends or family members who do or don't. Mm-hmm. You can always take that in your gathering of information. But at the end of the day, you are the one who is making the decision that is the best for yourself. And I think that's really what I would say. And that's more of a concept after, obviously, we can discuss about, you know, you want high quality products, but some obvious you want to follow a solid protocol, obviously, you know, you want to be mindful, you want So again, but all of that is a bit obvious. And I'm showing my book, The Microdose Diet. They can find absolutely it. And it's, I think, in some library. So, you know, if you don't even want to invest in the book, you can, I think, borrow it for free. Again, you can also find a lot of information in my newsletter. So it doesn't even require massive investment. I offer coaching now, so I also help people who are more nervous. And we want more than just microdosing, because you don't want to microdose the same way people have been taking Xanax and Zoloft and whatever.
Like you use the word mindful, and I think that the mindful part of it is like so important. If you are, because ultimately we want to heal. This isn't just about like slapping a Band-Aid on the wound, right? Like it is about allowing for you to heal, and that's the purpose. So I think that's so important to say. And we'll like include all of your links, including link to buy the book and to connect with you in the show notes. Peggy, what's coming up next for you? I mean, you've shared some of these, going on this TV show and being featured, and I love hearing about all of it. What is your big vision for what you want to do with your business?
Well, that's interesting because I don't know exactly, you know, and as what? As an undefined generator, that's quite normal. Usually you're kind of moving and you'll see what's happening to you. But for me right now, I would say it's a couple of things. It's more media because I love it, you know. So it's not just because of a visibility to sell more books or sell more products, which is great. I'm not pretending it's great. It's a business after all.
Yes.
But also just because I love it. So, love you know.
Yeah, that's a good reason to do it.
So exactly. So that's that media piece because it's very fun. But it's the coaching piece because I've always done a lot of informal coaching, but now I formalized it. And I actually, I think, yeah, next week, we have Labor Day on Monday. So next week is the first time I will start talking about it. But oddly enough, someone already found me. So I'm like, okay, I already started even before advertising, which I'm very happy about it. So that's really going to be more coaching, more media. And we spoke a bit offline about that, a new product. I have a microdosing product, which is based on psilocybin, which means it's not legal. And I'm working with the same clinic that developed that product to mimic the effects of that psilocybin microdose without the psilocybin. So that will be legal and, you know, people who are concerned, which I totally understand, will be able to partake and get the benefit. So that's really, I would say, these three things that are in the next few months eating up for me. Yeah.
Okay. That sounds fascinating and I'm sure will be a breakthrough product for sure. We'll have to keep our eye on that. Is there anything else you want to share before I ask you the final question that I ask all the guests on the podcast? Is there anything else sort of that has come up for you while we've been talking, Peggy?
Well, you know, I just want to repeat what I mentioned. You know, the whole point of microdosing psychedelics is for you to be your more authentic self. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that a lot in your voice, your authentic self. So it's really about looking at it from whatever you're doing, or does it support you?
Yeah.
Feel more confident and more able as well to connect with your intuition, or whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. And I think that's probably the takeaway, whatever the process or the obstacle or the, you know, like the turn of events you're in, always an opportunity to get closer to your intuition.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you. Okay, so the last question I wanted to ask you is, what do you think it means to be all you are?
Well, for me, it's almost coming back to who you were before the conditioning. Mm-hmm. Well, going back to, again, this authentic self, you know, what I believe is all kids, they are born with that ability to do big things, with that ambition, with that enthusiasm, you know, like that passion. It's not just like the lucky few. I don't think so. You know, like if
you're right.
You know, very young kids, they're all very excited just to be alive. And I think that's really important to understand that whatever you've been told, whatever you believed you see in yourself, whatever, it's likely not true. If it's not telling you you're freaking amazing, it's likely not true. And for me, that's what it means being all that you are. It's going back to that amazingness that we all have somewhere that hasn't been touched, that light that hasn't been dimmed, and make it bigger and bigger, and then becoming, you know, that identity, that light. That's what it is for me to be who all we are. It's actually removing the stuff we are not. It's excavation.
It's excavation. That is so beautiful. I love that answer so much. And it's funny because my daughter is 7. And so as she gets older, she's at that age, right, where it's like 90% excitement and like awe and I'm amazing. Like It's 90% that. And I'm like so aware that she's, as she grows, it's, you know, that's the part that kind of can slide backwards. And then it's the like, oh, I'm not as good as she is at this. And the teacher said this to me and that person said that to me. And it starts to slide. And I feel like I'm so committed to doing this work for myself because I know that I cannot model it for her unless I am truly doing that, right? Exactly. Like it's not just because we can tell them, all the things, you're amazing. But it's like, but mom, you are not like going after your life as if you're amazing. Exactly. You know?
Exactly.
They
might not tell you, but they will figure like, okay, that seems like bullshit, you know, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the truth. I heard this saying, you know, recently that it's caught, it's not taught. So you trying to teach them, they need to catch it from you. They need to literally catch that, it's a good virus from you. And so, I think that's so beautiful and such a beautiful answer. And I loved our conversation so much, Peggy. And I'm looking forward to sharing with my audience of how they can connect with you and learn more about what you do and read your book. And I look forward to us getting to know each other more as well.
Same here, you know, and I'm looking forward to having you on my podcast and turning the table. And, you know, I think that's great to be able to kind of overlap audience. Because there is always so much to learn from each other. So thank you so, so much for your generosity. You know, like it was really like an awesome conversation for people who are listening. It's Friday afternoon for us. So I couldn't think of a better way to finish my week. So thank you so, so much for that.
Oh, thank you, Peggy.
Thank you for tuning in to today's show. I hope you found inspiration and use this podcast to start stepping in to all you are. You can find information that was shared in today's show just below in the show notes. If you love this conversation, please share it with others so they can benefit from it too. You can take a screenshot of this episode and tag me on Instagram, or share a link via text or email to a friend. Let's be clear, we need more women stepping into all they are. So go ahead and share away. And of course, subscribe to the podcast so that you receive the latest episodes every week, and take a quick moment to rate it and leave a review. Thank you so much. Until next time, remember to keep exploring what it means to be all you are.